Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. It's good to see everyone here today. It's good to be in God's house with God's people this morning. We're going to open our service this morning with the hymn, He Keeps Me Singing. So if you're able to stand with us as we open our service this morning. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Indeed, He does fill our every longing. Good to see everyone here this morning. Visitors, if you're here this morning for the first time, welcome to our service today. Good to have you. Turn and greet each other as our pastor comes to the stage this morning.
Well, it's good to see you this morning, and we do welcome you to our service today. I'm glad you're here. We're just tickled to death about you being here today, and good to see you this morning. We also welcome those watching by Facebook and YouTube, and those who listen by way of radio. We welcome you to our service today. Today, I'll be going back to the life of Peter, and I'll be talking about a story that we all are familiar with, when Jesus walked on the water, and that's found in Matthew chapter 14. And we'll be talking about that and what it means to us today and what it meant to them then. So that's what we'll be doing here today. So it's good to see you today. May we pray together. Father, we thank you for the day and we thank you for this time of worship. We pray today that we'd open our hearts to you. And Father, we just ask that we'd honor you in all that we do today. Give us strength for the day and help us to give you glory and honor for everything that's accomplished today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Several announcements just to take special note of. Today, deacons will meet at 4 o'clock. And there's other announcements listed there for the upcoming summer events, Vacation Bible School being the first one coming up June the 6th through the 8th. So remember that in your prayers as we move forward for Vacation Bible School. Thank you for all those that helped our food distribution this weekend, this Friday. So we had several people here to help. With that, we'll do that every third Friday in partnership with Second Harvest. So thank those that helped with that. We're going to be singing the next set of songs about guidance and care. Jesus' guidance and care with us footsteps of Jesus and surely goodness and mercy. You join in with us as we sing the hymns this morning.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come follow me. And we see where Thy footprints falling lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Though they lead o'er that cold, dark mountain seeking His sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Then at last when on high He sees us our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at His throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. A pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did wrong. And Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me. And now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there. and safely His great hand will lead me. To the mansions He's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Thanks to some great hymns about God's guidance and care. We're going to continue with that theme with the next song. It's entitled Through the Storm. It's a medley of songs we've sang several times. So if you're able to stand, stand with us and join in. I'm sure most of you know this song, so join in with us if you can.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love, and covers me there with His hand, and covers me there with His hand. Soar with You above the storm. Father, You are King over the flood. I will be still and know You are God. When the ocean cries and thunders roar, I will soar with You.
My very presence.
Thank you. You may be seated. He is our very present help. We're going to introduce a new song this morning. It's entitled, What He's Done. If you think about all that Jesus has done for us, our sins are forgiven. Our future is in heaven. You may not know the song, but you'll catch on to it by the end of the chorus. And the chorus is repeated two times there at the end. So you join in with us as we sing, What He's Done. See, on the hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free. And look at the wounds that give me life, grace flowing from His side. No greater sacrifice. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done. For the freedom He has won, even death is dead and done. His life has overcome. Speak, say the name above all names, over every broken place. He is risen from the grave. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future in heaven. I praise God for what He's done. Now, on a throne of majesty, the Father's will complete. He reigns in victory. Sing hallelujah to the King. He is worthy to receive all the worship we can bring. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done. What He's done. What He's done. The glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done. I praise God for what He's done.
Let's pray together. Lord, we just praise You for what You've done. Lord, as we think about our sins are forgiven and our future is with You in heaven, we thank You for the guidance and assurance and the care that we've sang about this morning. We thank You that we can trust in You and our assurance is in You and know that You are always with us and lead, guide, and direct us. We thank You for that opportunity we have this morning to lift up Your name in song. Open our hearts as we receive Your word this morning in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team, congregation, for the good music today. Matthew 14, Jesus walks on the water. I want to begin at verse 22, and then we'll come back and make some comments on this passage. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they had gotten to the boat, the wind ceased. Now verse 33 is the key verse to this whole thing. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." While walking on the water, Peter sank. Christ taught Peter a valuable lesson here. This was a learning experience for Peter. It was a learning experience for the disciples. But it's also a learning experience for all of us today. I don't know what your storm is, but I know this, that we have difficulties in life. The storm on the Sea of Galilee is a picture of the difficulties and storms that we go through in life. It could be financial, it could be relationship, it could be the death of a spouse, it could be an illness, it could be anything like that. Whatever your storm is, this lesson is for you. So as we think about the difficulties and storms of life, here is a picture that Jesus gave to them and to us on how to make it through the storms and difficulties that come our way. So it was a learning experience. And so what is learned here is basically that we can trust Him in the storm, and that while we are going through the storm, the thing that we need to do is worship Him. What convinced them in this storm to worship Jesus? Why was it in their time of difficulty that they worshiped Jesus? Well, see, that's the point that he's making to us today. And so there are five assurances here today that I'm going to talk about. But the key takeaway that I want you to get today is this: in the storm, you can trust Jesus and you can worship him. That's what the lesson is teaching us today with Jesus walking on the water. This lesson is not about teaching us how to walk on water or how to teach Peter to walk on water. That's not what the lesson is about. But it's teaching us that God can, that Jesus can walk on the water, that God can make a way when there's no way, that God is God and we are to worship Him. And see, the disciples learned that lesson in the midst of their difficulty, in the midst of the storm. When they were at their extremity, then God shows up. He gave them convincing proof that He was the Son of God. And that is what convinced them to worship Him. You see, for Him to say that He was the Son of God, here's what Jesus was saying: "I'm God. I'm deity." He was saying that I'm equal with the Father. And so in their difficulty, that is the lesson that they learned, that they could trust Him. The Bible tells us that Christ came to them at night. Sometimes what happens is that, you know, Christ will calm the storm, and sometimes He will, you know, calm the storm in our heart. In other words, the circumstances may not change, but He will calm our hearts and He will give us peace. And so that's how it works. So He made these disciples in verse 22 to go ahead of Him. Said, you can't stay here where we're at. See, he had just performed a great miracle, the feeding of the multitude. They wanted to, you know, crown him as king then, but what they wanted a political king, so he sent the people away, and he sent these disciples away on the Sea of Galilee. It would have been about 6 o'clock in the evening when he sent them away. So they started out, but they were reluctant. You see how they were reluctant here. And the Bible tells us it was in the fourth night of the watch that he came to them during this storm. That would be between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. That would have been the last watch of the night before daybreak. Now remember, they had left around 6 p.m. This was a journey that would have taken them across the Sea of Galilee. Usually it would take just maybe a couple of hours. And they were in the northern part, tip of the sea. And really what they were looking at was a journey of 2 to 3 miles. But now things had changed. When they were on the Sea of Galilee, the storm came up. And they had drifted into the middle of the sea. So they'd been out there for some hours now, and they were desperate. And they thought they were not going to survive this thing, but Jesus shows up. In verse 27, he spoke the words that they need to hear. It is I. That is the ego eimi, is what that's called. What that means literally is this. It's the I am that I am from the Old Testament. Do you remember when Moses asked God, when he sent him down into Egypt to deliver the children of Israel, who do I need to say that sent me? Tell them I am that I am. This is I am. I am here. God is here. Jesus is here to help you. He's here to help them, and he's here to help you. He's here to help me, and so he is with us in the storm. And so that's the great lesson here that we see. See, Peter's ability to walk on the water did not come within himself. Peter's ability to walk on water came from God. That's where he got the strength and the power to do that. So when we rely upon him, when we trust him, he makes a way that we can make it through the storms of life. When we think we can't make it, when we're ready to give up, when the difficulty is so great, then he makes a way for us. God is the one who rescues his people from the sea. He's the one who parted the Red Sea. He's the one who led the children of Israel through the Jordan River. And he is the one who saved these disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And he's the one who's going to see you through. And he's the one who's going to see me through. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. So what we understand here is the power of God. But you know what? You'll never fully understand the power of God until you go through a storm. These disciples learned about the power of God not in a place of safety, but they learned about the power of God when they were going through the storm. And I know you have learned that lesson. And I know some of you have been through great storms in your life and difficulty in your life. And some of you are there now. And so the lesson is this, that we get through by the power of God. And we get through with his strength and what he can do and how he can change the situation for us. There are 5 assurances here that I want to talk about. These 5 assurances is what gave these disciples the confidence and the conviction that Jesus was the Son of God. Number 1, when we go through the storm, we can rest on the assurance of his authority. He is sovereign. The Bible tells us here in this verse that what he made them do was to get into the boat. Verse 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. They didn't want to leave. They wanted to be where Jesus was. They probably understood that the storm was coming. But yet, they were obedient to his authority. He has authority over men and women. He has the authority over creation. He has authority over the angels. He is deity. He is God. He is sovereign. Now, how did he prove his authority here? By being in control of nature. Who can control nature but God? Who can calm the sea and calm the wind? Only God can do that. Folks, do you understand what this is saying to us? That there's no situation impossible for God. Regardless of the difficulty, regardless of the storm, we commit to his authority, to whatever that is. So Jesus, even in the midst of this, the Bible tells us that he had time to pray. He needed strength for his soul. And many times when he needed that strength, what would he do? He would get alone and he would pray to the Father. See, there's a great lesson here. When we go through the storms and difficulty of life, when our soul needs strength from God, when we think we can't make it, we need to pray. If Jesus had time to pray with all that was going on here, then we can make time to pray during our difficulty and during our storm. But we see his authority here, and that's the assurance that he gives us. But another assurance was his knowledge. The Bible tells us that Jesus went upon the hilltop to pray. He sent these disciples to the other side. I want you to go to the other side. And he sent them into the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Did he know the storm was there? Yes, he did. Did he know where these disciples were? Yes, he did. He knew exactly where they were. Jesus knew the situation here long before it ever happened. The way they divided the night watch was this. 6 to 9 p.m. was the first watch. 9 to 12, second watch. 12 to 3 was the third watch. And 3 to 6 was the fourth watch. But just in time, you know who showed up? Jesus. I mean, and that's how it is. But he was teaching them the lesson that they needed to learn. And the Bible teaches us that when we go through the trials of life, the storms of life, the difficulties of life, what he is teaching us is lessons that we cannot learn otherwise. And the lesson is we can trust him. And we can worship him. And we can have confidence that he knows exactly where he was. Jesus hadn't forgotten about them. He knew where they were. And he's always time. He's always on time. But this is also a truth. He always knows what's best for us. There's a third assurance here. And that is that we can rest on the assurance of his protection. What this verse says to us is this. That God cares. God cares for you. He cares for me. He cared for these disciples. I was going back and doing some study on God's care and protection. And I don't know why I've never really thought about this verse, but it was in Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3. And the children of Israel had been going through a hard time with captivity and judgment and a lot of stuff going on. And in Malachi, there was a lot of prophecy about the future of what they were going through and the trouble. But in verse 16 of Malachi 3, I ran across these verses and it really helped me. And we're talking here about the protection. We're talking about the knowledge and authority of God. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them in their difficulty and their struggle. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. God hadn't forgotten about them. This book of remembrance, God is saying, I know where you are. I know what you're going through. I understand your questions. I understand the difficulty. I understand the storm. And your name is in a book of remembrance. I know. I care for you. If you trust me, then I will protect you in the storm. So this is a great lesson here about the protection of God. You see, when they went into the storm, they were walking in the obedience of God. That storm was within the will of God for them. And so the guarantee is this: when we are in the storm and we are walking in the obedience of God and the will of God, then the protection of God is going to get us safely to the other side. He's going to take us safely home, folks. We're going to get there. Your name and my name is in that book of remembrance, and He knows us, and He will get us home safely. There may be some bumps and bruises along the way. There may be some hard lessons we have to learn. But yet, the assurance that we have is this: we have the assurance of His protection when we go through the storms. Reading different commentaries on this, I'll read different commentaries because I want to get a wide view of what's going on. When I do a Bible study, I read very conservative commentaries, and then every now and then I want to see what the liberals have to say about it. So I'll read some liberal commentators and people who, you know, try to deny the miracles of the Bible, see their point of view. The Bible tells us that Jesus walked on the water. He came to them on the water. The liberals say this, that they only thought that Jesus walked on the water. They say what they really saw was Jesus just walking on the shore. But see, the gospel writers all say that He walked on the water, but John tells us this. John says that they were 3 or 4 miles out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee. So John gives us the location. So this was in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. The widest point of the Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles wide. And so they were out there about 4 miles. They had struggled to get to the other side, and this storm was fierce. It was the last watch of the night. They didn't know if they were going to make it or not. And what happens is Jesus shows up, and He got them to the other side. But he said, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." You know what they recognized? They recognized His voice. Peter recognized His voice. You know what the Bible says? That His sheep know His voice. That His sheep follow Him. That He knows His sheep, and we know Him, and we know His voice. This was not the time for explanations of why He wasn't there earlier. There's wasn't the time to for Him to say, "Now here's what we're going to do next," or why He hadn't come sooner. It was a time to give courage in the middle of the storm. And that's what Jesus will do for you, and that's what He'll do for me. We may not have the explanations, things may not be explained to us, but He gives us the courage we need to make it through the storm. I've read this definition this week, and I've written it down. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's moving ahead in spite of your fear. And I would add this: courage is not the absence of fear, but it's moving ahead in the will of God with the courage that He gives you. How do we move ahead? By trusting Him, by knowing His goodness, by knowing His mercy. And so the Lord here is demonstrating to them His care. "Hey, I care about you guys. I know where you are, and I'm going to help you." But it's a reminder here of His divine protection for us. And it's a reminder of His care for us. He really does care. But it's also saying to us this: when we can't, God can. When Peter couldn't walk on the water, God could. When we can't walk on the water, God can. And see, we don't need to be too critical of Peter here, because Peter had enough faith to get out of the boat. And he did try. And so we shouldn't be too critical of him. See, weak faith is better than no faith. And little faith is better than, you know, no faith. But he had enough about him that he wanted to get to the Lord. The place of security is not the place of favorable circumstance, but the place of security is in obedience to God's will. Then there's a fourth assurance here, that is His love. Mark and John give us the same account of Jesus walking on the water, but there's one omission. Matthew gives us something that Mark and John doesn't give us. Mark and John never say anything about Peter walking on the water. But Matthew does. Why did Peter walk on the water? There's not a big theological explanation for this, but you know why he walked on the water? He wanted to be where Jesus was. And folks, I tell you, when you go through a storm and you go through difficulty, you want to be where Jesus was. And you want to get to Jesus as fast as you can get to Jesus. Because you want Him. And so it was safer to be with Jesus on the water than it was to be in the boat with a storm. But what you see here is the love that he had for Jesus. We get frustrated, anxious, bewildered, frightened. Satan tempts us at times to wonder why things happen like they do to his children. But if we keep our attention on those things that we need to keep our attention on, and that is God, His authority, His knowledge, His protection, His love. If that is our focus, then, you know, we'll make it. Now, when Peter got in trouble was when he took his eyes off the Lord. And he started looking at the circumstances, and he started doubting and all that. But when he cried out for help, what did the Lord do? He saved him. That's not a big prayer. It doesn't have a lot of fancy words, but it's just, save me, Lord. Have you ever been there? I mean, just, Lord, I need your help. You know, we got trouble here. We're difficult. Lord, save me. And so that's exactly what he did. But there's a fifth assurance here, and that's his power. The Bible tells us that when Jesus got into the boat, the wind stopped, the waves stopped. And the Bible tells us that immediately, now they're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, but immediately, here's the miracle. Immediately they were on shore. Now, the Bible doesn't explain that miracle to us, but that's exactly what happened. But he got them safely to where they needed to go. You know what Mark said about that? Mark said that those disciples were greatly amazed. So what did they do? What was their response to all this? They worshiped him. Why? Because of his authority. Because of his knowledge. Because of his protection. Because of his love for them. And the last assurance here is because of his power. What he did for them was a great miracle. He did for them what nobody else could do. And folks, I want you to know, his power will do the same for you. You see, we cannot save ourselves. We can't. Jesus came, died on the cross to save us from our sins. He rose again to prove that he was God. And so, that's something that we all need. We need that salvation. We need to cry out to him, you know, Lord, save us. But like I said, sometimes he calms the storm. Sometimes he calms the storm in our heart. But here's what Peter learned. Peter learned he had to trust Jesus and not in himself. Peter learned that we cannot make it on our own. We can't. Those disciples couldn't make it across the sea on their own. They needed the Lord. They needed his power. They needed his strength. When Peter realized that he was helpless, you know what the Lord did? The Lord saved him. And when we come to that point in our life when we realize that we're helpless without God, and we can't save ourselves, and we can't make it on our own, when we get to that place, then that's where God moves in. What we see here is that he's praying for us. He was on the hilltop praying for those disciples. They couldn't see him, but he could see them. Do you understand what that says? We can't see him physically, but he sees us. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He came to them just exactly where they were. He came to them. And then he will see them through. He saw them through. 2 Timothy 4:18 says this. Paul was writing there, and he said this. He was coming down to the end of his life. And Paul said, here's what I know. God will take me safely home. And folks, he will. And that's the promise that he gives us here. So we need to keep our eyes on him. We need to keep focused on him. So how do we do that? Well, through the word, through worship, through singing the hymns, through praise songs, through meditating on him, and just crying out to him. So that's how we stayed focused. Whatever your storm is, I want you to know this. God will see you through. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to cry out today and say, Lord, save me. Forgive me my sin because I need you. And folks, we need him. We really do. So look to him and focus on him and he will see you through. Worship him in the storm. Why? Because of his authority. Because of his knowledge. Because of his protection. Because of his love, and because of his power, you are the Son of God. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank you today for this word. We thank you for the great encouragement that we find here. Father, I pray for those today who are in the storm. I mean, there's a difficulty. It's something, Lord, that they're not going to be able to handle on their own. And I just pray, Lord, that they would look to you. This lesson today that we all need to learn is this, that we can trust you. We can trust you in the storm. And we need to worship you in the storm. Father, I pray for those today who have never been saved. I pray that they would cry out to you today. And this is the simple prayer here that Peter prayed. Lord, save me. Come into my life, forgive me my sin, and save me. Help us to look to you today. And focus on you today because we know that we can trust you in the storm and we can worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Charles Weigel was a music professor where I went to school. And he wrote a hymn that we sang sometimes, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. That hymn came out of a great time of difficulty in his life. He'd just gone through a divorce. His wife didn't want the life that he wanted. He was walking along the beach one night, and there walking along the beach, the words of this song came to him. He got back to the motel room. He sat down and he wrote the words to the hymn that was saying, No one ever cared for me like Jesus. God brought him through that storm in his life. I can look back in my life and I see the storms that he's brought me through. You can look back in your life and you can see the storms that he's brought you through. Folks, we can trust him and we can worship him through the storm, okay? So go this week with the thought of knowing that he really does care. He knows your situation, and he wants to help you. He really does. But the good thing is this, he has the power to do it. So that's why we worship him. He can do what we cannot do. When we can't, God can. Just remember that. Thank you for being here today. The worship team will come now, and dismiss us in our benediction course.
Thank you, Pastor. We'll sing, God Will Make a Way.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way.
Thank you. You're dismissed.